good, the bad, and the ugly with Terence Pillay.
Investigative journalist extraordinaire Terence Pillay joins us again. And Terence, I mean this in the nicest possible way. You look like you've started Christmas parties early. I mean the nicest possible way.
I'm just tired, Darren. It's been a long year. It's been quite a year, hey. I'm decidedly tired.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to a much needed, albeit short break.
How long?
Festive season.
Well, you deserve it.
But seeing as this is my last show for the year, I've decided to recap with some of the more memorable stories from this year. So you would recall that I started the year off bringing us a story of parents who need parenting. The topic was sparked after I witnessed quite a disturbing scene while driving to work. It was raining and I noticed that the woman in the car next to me had her window ever so slightly down, was smoking with children in the car
in the back seat. Was that this year?
That was this year.
Wow.
I hooted and signaled to her to stop, but she flipped me off and sped off. I was livid, and these children that had no choice but to sit there in that smokeful car with this disgusting woman who really should have been behind bars. Mm. The whole incident sparked a raging debate amongst my friends about parenting, and for me broadly it actually spoke to parental responsibility more than anything else. One of my friends said that as a parent you always have this paranoia about what you can do wrong, and most parents try their best to be good parents, but the fact is so many people don't really know how to parent responsibly. So when something happens, say for example some school kid goes on a killing spree, one of the first things people say is, but he came from such a normal home. And as a parent you think the things that you will that you do will influence your child, the whole nature versus nurture notion. And that's a huge responsibility. The response from the public was quite strong, which means we hit a nerve with this. And I think a lot of parents related to that story. Then you would recall I brought the story of pet care and how some people shirk their responsibility when it comes to handling of domestic animals. We mentioned the story about the domestic worker who was attacked on her way to home from work by a dog that wasn't fenced in on the property, and the errant owner who did not want to accept responsibility for the dog. I also highlighted the story of the woman who was relocating to Cape Town and transported her dogs on an SAA flight only to find the dog had allegedly been left unattended in the scorching Durban heat and died of a heart attack due to respiratory distress and heat stroke, the vet's report said. After so we did two shows on that, and after the first show I managed to find Nicola McIntyre, the owner in question, because I wanted to follow up on what went wrong that day with the animal. And according to Nicola, the dog was fine when she sent it off with Petport, a company that handles the transporting of pets to the airport. Petport are however limited in their access to the airport and how far they can go, and had to hand the dog over to SAA Cargo to complete its transit. And it's here where the facts became a little unclear. According to a report, the dog was kept in a pine box on a van with a canvas over it, and it's unclear whether they had fed the dog any water. And my questions to a number of people on the ground at the airport yielded no answers. I called SAA
Cargo. I remember that story. I was very, very worried about that because I had a friend who was flying to the UK, and they had to take, well, they obviously want to take their family, which includes their dog, with, and everyone's just panicking. How do you ensure the safety of your pet while you are not with it? It's frightening for so many people.
So, I mean, in that story, you recall, I called SAA Cargo for a response, but they were unable to do a live telephonic interview. Instead, I sent them some questions, which they answered. And they started with, kindly note that SAA Cargo has been cleared of any liability by the SPCA Durban. And then they just gave me a whole whack of rhetoric.
Well, but you're under review now, so karma.
The story that got me really riled up this year was one of that child at the Carlton Hall creche who was beaten up by a teacher because she threw up in class. The incident was recorded on a cell phone by another caregiver, and the video of the teacher at a creche repeatedly slapping a young child on her head had sparked outrage in the country.
Yeah, for good reason.
Many South Africans called for the creche to be shut down. In the video, the woman was also seen hitting her on her buttocks. According to reports, the child had vomited and the teacher made her wipe up the mess and assaulted her because she had done this. At the time, Gauteng Education MEC Panyaza Lesufi said he battled to finish watching the video of the young child being beaten up by a teacher, and I think most of the country battled to watch that video.
Yeah, I remember that too. And the comments were a bit happening.
And you would also recall that last year I investigated the story of the young Phoenix mother who beat up a child while her boyfriend had recorded the incident on his cell phone.
This year as well.
In an exclusive interview at the time, the mother told me that her boyfriend was upset because the child had peed her pants. Mm. Like this case, the child in the Carltonville video had simply done what children do. Mm. She threw up. Did this act warrant such a violent reaction from the teacher? As far as I'm concerned, the woman in the video was not fit to be a teacher or caregiver or whatever she claimed to be. What was seen in that video was not corporal punishment, which, by the way, is illegal, but a violent act of child abuse. And the person should never have been and still should not be allowed anywhere near children, never mind out on bail, which I believe she made. Coming up, I'm going
Tell me, coming up, you have some good news stories as well.
Yes, we did quite a few good news stories, but they were more shocking.
I mean, we are heading towards the festive season, Terrence. Can we lighten it up here a bit? More with Terrence Blade, the good, the bad, and the ugly when we come back.
The good, the bad, and the ugly with Terrence Pillay.
Now, Terrence, please can you lighten it up a little bit? The first half were like, there were some heavies. By the way, every single one of these stories is still available on the website. You just look for the good, the bad, and the ugly. They're all there in case you also want a bit of depro in your day.
But unfortunately, you know what? These were the way we sorted these stories out were the stories that got the most reaction from the public.
And unfortunately,
the good news stories,
they just don't get traction.
They don't get traction.
Okay, I'm going to throw one in just to change the tone a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay? Here's a good news story. The Prime Minister of Finland is a 34-year-old woman. She is young. She is beautiful. She is talented. She is witty. She is charming. She's amazing. And her entire coalition of five parties are all led by women in their 30s.
That is brilliant. Unfortunately, it wasn't part of my year.
Okay.
So this year, flooding hit KZN. Yeah. Let's talk. I mean, it's a bit grim, but I think people need to hear these, right? This year, the flooding hit KZN hard. And
that was earlier this year, not even the latest one.
That destroyed a lot of property.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had the floods in 2017. Mm. And some areas were affected, and the municipality had allocated large sums of money to do preventative maintenance on the drainage systems and to make sure the same kind of devastation didn't happen again. Then the rains hit again earlier this year. And they issued a press statement with a long story about them having to issue a tender and it taking 18 months to sign the contracts, and the workers had only just started on the project. But then the rains came again and people lost their lives again and their homes again.
Yeah.
Surely this plan by the municipality in 2017 should have been more urgent. Mm. I mean, it was an emergency after all. All they needed to do was maintain the drainage system, and according to widespread news reports, money approved for repairs was not spent. Mm. Following the 2017 storm, which destroyed homes, schools, businesses, and vehicles, the executive committee had immediately approved a report which stated that the estimated cost for repair infrastructure damage was more than 576 million rand. Mm. Where did that money go?
Yeah.
It's still unclear. But perhaps one of the toughest interviews I'd done this year was with Nan Lee, the mother of murdered teenager Siam
Lee's mom. Yeah.
You know, about 2 years of the country was rocked by a murder so heinous it was almost unbelievable. Mm. Siam Lee, a Durban teenager working as a massage therapist, was abducted from a Durban North home where she worked with her mother Nan, who was also an escort. Mm. Days later, her charred remains were found in a sugarcane field in New Hanover. Mm. A man, Pilani Ntuli, was arrested in connection with the murder and appeared in court several times. However, charges were yet to be put to him. Mm. But then Thule, who is believed to be undergoing treatment for skin cancer, died in June this year, effectively bringing an end to the trial.
The case was
struck off the court's roll, and the country was again largely outraged. Many believe that Ntuli's death was an easy way out. Mm. And if fate had not dealt him the blow, he would have spent the rest of his life behind bars. Mm. Nan Lee Syme's mother said she wanted him to be held accountable for what he had done. And in a radio exclusive, Nan opened up about her relationship with her daughter. If you remember,
Syme's
childhood, how she got to this very dark point in her life. Mm. And you would also remember it was an emotional interview. And she said she couldn't be held responsible for what this monster had done to her daughter.
Yeah.
and following widespread criticism.
But she kind of had to say that because so many people were blaming her.
Yes. So following widespread criticism for introducing a daughter to the world of erotic massage, Nan had gone off the grid and is now living away from Durban. Another significant story was the scandal surrounding our former mayor, Zandile Gumede. You may remember when she became mayor of Etiquette, initially, I did the first interview with her in the first week of office.
Yeah.
In that interview, she promised to clean up the municipality, which had gained a muddy reputation, and made a very firm commitment to stamp out corruption.
I remember the euphoria throughout the entire province about female power, woman power, and the end to corruption. And that was very short-lived.
100%. And I was quite pleased about her stand, and thought it was, but at that time I thought it was still early days. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, you said that.
And I didn't know whether it was just grandstanding or whatever the case may be. As it turned out, in May this year, Gumede was arrested and granted bail of 50,000 rand after she appeared in the Durban Commercial Crimes Court. She faced a number of charges from corruption and fraud to
and
even racketeering.
And she was able to pay the bail with a small change in her other pair of pants.
Yes, that's right. The axe fell on this disgraced mayor after she was accused of allegedly awarding an illegal tender to Durban Solid Waste. The sanitation company was paid in excess of 25 million rand to provide 800 chemical toilets in the city.
It'll also answer the question of why you saw all the municipal workers dumping loads in the CBD. Now you understand why that happened full circle.
Yes, 100%. So from road rages to the comprehensive sexual education program in schools, from the proposed grade 9 exit certificate to the Men Are Trash campaign, to my last story that involved an 11-year-old boy who experienced his worst nightmare when he was detained by immigration and not allowed access to his parents for 4.5 hours because of their glitch in his passport. This year has been filled with stories that informed, educated, shocked, and surprised all of us. And then, of course, there were some pretty nifty exclusive interviews as well. You know, some international ones with stars like Ed Stoppard, Dion Mayer.
That was a build-up to Trackers,
That's right. Local celebrities like Survivor.
Dion Mayer doesn't talk to anyone, Terrence Pillay, and we got that exclusive interview.
How nice was that?
Good job, Mr. Mayor.
And so we spoke to Nico Panaggio, the new Bachelor South Africa. Remember, we even submitted our own candidates.
Yes.
So that was,
and he's a Durban boy.
That was quite Durban boy. Yeah. And then KZN guy had won Survivor this year, and we got the first interview with him as well, which was really good.
And he joined us at Hollywood Bet Stadium as well. He's our guy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Kerry is not yet. She's popped out. She has, I know she's with the Greek, but she has the biggest crush on Rob. You have no idea.
I think the whole country does.
Is he all that in a bag of chips?
He's okay.
He won Survivor. That's what else.
He won Survivor.
Can you change your wheel?
He's a Survivor. But so I'm looking forward to bringing you bigger and better stories next year. We'll have to see how it goes. Maybe there will be a few more good news stories.
Can I just say that? Going into 2020, your feature is called The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. Let's not leave out the good.
I'm not guaranteeing anything. I mean, you must remember that we live in South Africa. Yeah. So as long as we live in South Africa, I have a job.
As we wrap up, let me ask you, okay, the listener. Share the good stories, because that's why Terrence just gave you a list of all the ones that you engaged in. We'll put up a competition where you can win 20,000 rand and we get 17 comments. So we'll put up a competition, or we'll put up photos of floods on the South Coast and it gets 5,000 views. So I'm saying is, do your bit as well. Make the good news spread as much as the bad news, and maybe it'll infect us as a society. Yes, no?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know what the important thing is, that we go behind the story on the good, the bad, and the ugly. So it's not just what people are seeing in newspapers and magazines and all of that. We go behind the news, and I think that's what people want to hear. They want to get to the nitty-gritty of the story.
Well, Terrence, thank you for all the stories. Thank you for all the bravery. Thank you for all of the exclusive interviews. And listen, take a break. Enjoy your break. And I'll see you back in 2020.
I'm going to sleep for 2 weeks.
There you go, Sleeping Beauty.